Morning. I've titled this lesson, Today is the First Day of the Rest of Your Life. And I want to hopefully run you down through this and make some points. You know, we hear that phrase a lot when changes happen in a person's life. In August, when Trent and Leah get married, I'm sure we'll hear that. Somewhere along the way, somebody will say, this is the first day of the rest of your life after they're married. Because it is. They've been single up till that point in time. Now they're a couple. Now they make decisions together. And now they do things together. When you have a first newborn child, people look at you and say, this is the first day of the rest of your life. Because your life changes. You have things you have to take care of now. New job or career. You know, the first day of the rest of your life. You don't just enter a job figuring, okay, I'm going to work here for a couple weeks and be done. Then I get a new job. And I think about 35 years from now, I'll have 472 different jobs. That's not the way you look at it. But what you usually hear at this time of year is for graduation. When you sit at a graduation, no doubtedly, somewhere along the way, you're going to hear the phrase during the speeches that today is the first day of the rest of your life. Because for the last 12 years, their life has been devoted to school. Getting up in the morning, getting on the bus, going to school. Looking forward to May 31st when school lets out for 3 months. Well, now, your life is going to change. Because you're maybe get to sleep in a little longer, but you're going to have to be at work sometime, and you're not going to get a three-month vacation halfway through the year. Well, unless you're a teacher, I guess. But just joking, Nancy. Just joking. Okay, lunch lady. Lunch ladies get three-month vacations. I always get them on at schools when I'm working at the schools. But you'll have responsibilities now that you never had before. And why do we say that to people? Because nobody knows what the road ahead holds for them. There'll be good times, there'll be bad times, there'll be new friends, and there'll be new challenges. All of them will be new. When Lisa and I had our first child, there were challenges. I'd never changed diapers before. I had never burped a kid before. I'd never had a kid hurl down my shirt before. But it changes. And you know what? Today, I don't know what my parents felt like after I graduated, because I was the eighth of eight children that had gone through the Indianapolis Public School System, Northwest High School. And I kind of wonder, they breathed a sigh of relief at the end of that, because they didn't have to worry about the school situations anymore. Not that they worried about when I was there, because I was a good student. But today we could almost say that about Lisa and I right now, because we're finishing up one phase of our lives. We're graduating our last child today. Now he's got things to look forward to. We've got things to look forward to. Maybe college, maybe a job. But nobody knows what holds the road ahead holds. I graduated, had to add this up, 37 years ago. And since then, I've traveled many directions. I didn't graduate in Iowa. I graduated in Indianapolis, Indiana. But now I'm in Iowa. Okay? Why? Because things change. You go different places. There have been some good things in my life. There have been some happy times. There have been some bad times. And there have been some sad times. But you know what? There have been many first times in my life since I graduated. There have been many first times in my life since I became a Christian. You know, first time I got up and gave a lesson in front of a group. First time I led songs in front of a group. The first times I read in front of a group was Chapel Glen, Speedway. Then I come here. A lot of firsts here. First time I got up in front of Vandalia and spoke, I'm sure probably a bunch of you are scratching your heads wondering who this kid was. But now I'm several years down the road and I'm still speaking, so I must have made some sense somewhere along the way. But there have been many first days in my life, my marriage to Lisa, my kids, and I've had at least three career changes in that time. But you know what? I've always stuck with the Lord, and that's what we need to look forward to. When they say today is the first day of the rest of your life, I think we need to think about our physical walk, but we need to also remember our Christian walk, because there is a first day to our every day of our life. when I get out of bed every morning, after I get done grunting and groaning and creaking and cracking, I need to look at the Lord and say, today is the first day of the rest of my life, because today is a new day. Today is a day I can start over again. And that's what makes it nice. I could start over again with Goodwin Tucker, but I'd have to drop about $22 an hour in pay, and I'd have to give up 21 years of seniority. That ain't going to happen. Christ doesn't require that of me. He just requires me to start each day focusing on Him. Let's think of a scripture in the Bible. Daniel chapter 6, starting the 14th verse. This is at the end of the story, but we all know this story. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, now, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establisheth may be changed. Then the king commanded them, they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed with his own signet, and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting, neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very hastily in the morning, very early in the morning, went in haste into the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel, and the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. Daniel was sentenced to death, was he not? Daniel was sentenced to death because he had broken the decree of the king. Now the king was coerced into making this decree, but the king had to abide by his decree. Daniel was sentenced to death. People don't walk away from lions. I'm sure they'd seen it before. People don't walk away from lions. But yet Daniel walked away because he had a God that was able to help him walk away. But I think Daniel could honestly look at God and himself and the people around him and say, today is the first day of the rest of my life. Because I'm sorry, he had to have been changed just a little bit. Sure, Daniel was a good man. But you can't tell me being thrown into a den of lions and walking out doesn't change you a little bit. And I, on a daily basis, walk into a den of lions when I go out into the world. But yet I walk away from them. And I walk away from them because God is able to deliver me. So I need to look at God every day and say, today is the first day of the rest of my life. I am going to change and be more suited to your style of life. We have many examples in the scriptures. We have the scripture of the three, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Sentenced to death, were they not? They didn't obey the king. But they knew they weren't to obey the king. They were to obey a higher king, a higher power. They were sentenced to death. But yeah, what could they say when they came out? Today is the first day of the rest of my life. Because as far as people knew, their life was over when they went into the fiery furnace. So they had no life to look forward to. But they had a God they knew could deliver them. The New Testament is full of examples of people. Blind people were healed, made to see. Would that not be a change in your life? Would that not be the first day of the rest of your life? You've gone around walking, bumping into things, having people lead you by the hand. Now you can see everything. The lame started walking. You know, how many times did we see somebody walking? They laid there in their beds and watched people walk by all the time. Well, look, there's a ice cream vendor coming by. I'm going to go get me some ice cream. No, I'm not. I can't walk to him. But now they can walk and do what they want. And the dead brought back to life. Today, if I was standing around and I saw a dead man brought back to life, that would convince me that today better be the first day of the rest of my life, because it ain't every day you see somebody brought back to life. John chapter 11, 31 through 44. John chapter 11, 31 through 44. The Jews then, which were with her in the house, and comforted her, when they saw Mary, then they rose up hastily and went out, and followed her, saying, she goeth into the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, she saw and saw him. She fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have you laid him? Then they said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold, how he loved him. And some of them could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again groaning in himself, coming to the grave, it was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was, and laid Jesus up. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I know that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus said and spoken, he cried with a loud voice, saying, Lazarus, come forth. And when the dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin, Jesus said unto them, Loose him and let him go. Could Mary have not have said, Today is the first day of the rest of my life when this was over? I think she probably could have, and she might have. Because she'd lost her brother. She'd lost Lazarus. I don't think she'd ever seen anybody come back from the dead. He'd been dead for 3 days. They were done at that point in time. She had never seen anybody come back. But we always hear people talk about how Lazarus feel when that happened. Now, Lazarus was dead. I don't know if you know you were dead and came back to life, but he had known he was dead and came back to life. I mean, if I wake up in the morning out of pillow stuffed over my head, it's probably because I was snoring and Lisa tried to stop me from snoring. Big deal. Lazarus woke up. He was bound head to foot with grave clothes. There's no doubt he was dead. That wasn't a practical joke somebody played on him. That was something that he knew what the end of the matter was, but yet he came back to life. And he could truly say, Today is the first day of the rest of my life. But yet how many people around them were influenced by that action that happened? You know, Mary had to have been and the people around him. Christ's job wasn't just to come and perform miracles, just to be a miracle performer. He came to perform miracles to show that he was the way, the truth, and the life. He had a way to make every day the first day of the rest of our lives, if we would only let him. People probably say I haven't really grown up much yet, but I feel that in my 37 years since I graduated, when I hit adulthood, in my opinion, 37 years ago when I graduated, I've had a lot of many different things happen in my life. So I've had a lot of less than perfect days, and I think everyone here today could say the same thing. Why is that? Because I think it's because of Doug. I have squelched my praise to God. I became Daniel. Daniel said, told, you cannot pray to God. Don't pray to any god other than Nebuchadnezzar, the king, I mean. Don't pray to anybody but him. I think I've done that before in my life. I've squelched my praise to God. I became Daniel. But yet I wasn't willing to throw open my curtains and my windows and praise God from the housetop like he was. I've served other gods. I became Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Something better was laid out there for me. I wanted to take advantage of it. Okay? I saw the big idol, and I wanted to become part of it. So I became, but they didn't do that. I'm not saying these people did that. I'm saying I'm taking the back half of what they did. They did not give in. I do give in. And how do I know that? Because I'm always chasing money. I'm always looking for more. We've got a trip planned in Indianapolis next weekend with all 15 of our family members. I don't know if my father and mother know what's coming their way. If it is, they're going to be heading to Pennsylvania by Friday night. But we're going to go out and see them because grandkids haven't seen their grandparents for a while. But yet, I've jokingly given Lisa a hard time, said, you know, I could make this trip a lot easier if she'd go out and buy me a new pickup truck with a club cab on it. And, you know, I could sit 5 people in it and then we could fit 6 in the Flex and Bruce's car full of people. She's not going for it yet because she knows I don't have the money to do it. But boy, if I could reach in my wallet and grab that money out and go do it, I'd have a new truck sitting out there. But I have a wife that talks sense into me. Hopefully I have a God that talks sense into me too and realize I have more important things to do with my money. I've served other friends. I've let friends rule my life. And this friend wasn't Christ. This friend was the world. I've let my tongue overtake my life. And yes, I have given in to some of the alcohol and drugs that are available in the world sometimes. So I know you think I'm a good guy. I have not always been a good guy. But why haven't I been a good guy? Because I didn't get out of bed every morning and say, today is the first day of the rest of my life. I didn't wake up and say, God, I'm yours today. I woke up and said, goodness, what can Doug do for himself today? And hopefully I'm getting less and less of that and more of the God, I want to make you first in my life. Say, today is the rest of my life. And how do I do that? Well, I had something written down here, and I don't know where it went. Oh, no, here it is. How do I do that? Let's start off in Matthew chapter 6, starting in 30th verse. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Take therefore no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or withal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto day is the evil thereof. I like that. God knows what I need. God knows I need clothes to wear. God knows I need food to eat. God knows I need transportation to get to my job. But what God wants me to know is I don't need to make those the center of my life. I need to keep him as far the first in my life. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and things will be added to us. We will have friends. There's a saying I heard one time. Tomorrow is still a dream, if I get this right. Tomorrow is still a dream. Yesterday is a memory. Today is a new day. Can't worry about what's happening tomorrow. Can't worry about what happened yesterday. It happened. It's over. It's done. But today is a new day. I can enjoy today if I do it by serving God. Psalm chapter 34, the first 8 verses. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is that man that trusteth in him. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Sometimes that's a hard thing to do. Praise him continually and have... and continually has praise to be continually in my mouth. But that's what I'm striving for. Because I am human, and I suffer frailties. But you know what? I need to go down to verse 6 and read what it says. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him. I need to ask the Lord for help. If I don't realize that I'm the poor man that needs that help, I'm never going to have the praise of Christ, God, in my mouth continually. I will boast, but it won't be to the Lord. There's a song. I like the Cathedral Quartet, and they had had a piano player for years, and he probably 20 years ago. I'm guessing here. I couldn't find 20 years ago. He was diagnosed with leukemia, and he didn't let it get him down. And he talks about it in a book, and he talks about it. He wrote a song about that. He wrote a song during that time. I started writing a song. He didn't know what it meant. So he quit writing it. But then he got leukemia. And he realized the trials and the struggles, the people telling him, give up, it's over, it's done. There's no reason to keep trying. And he didn't give to that. He didn't give in to that. He was told maybe 10 years after that, hey, we don't find any leukemia left in you. And he made the realization in his life, I've been cured. Well, who cured me? You know, he trusted in God to cure him. But he says, I realize that leukemia can come back, and did come back. And that's when he wrote the rest of the song, because that leukemia came back, and within the last 10 years, he's passed away from that. But he never left his walk with God, because he said, people told him, leave your walk with God. It's not worth it. And he said, if God were to come to you today and say, I'll put you the day before I told you you had leukemia, would you take that? But I'll take away the leukemia. He said, no. If God asked me that, I wouldn't do it. I want to live for God. And it made him stronger living for God. Because he got up every day and he says, today is the first day of the rest of my life. He knew that his life was, his time was coming up. And he did not let it get him down. He wrote this song, the disciples were tossed on a cold raging sea, but Jesus was sleeping so peacefully. They cried, Master, do you not care that we die? But he spoke three little words, peace be still. It was a storm that had to die. So don't be afraid when the darkness is closing. The Master is near. His voice calms every storm. So when the world says it's over, the Master says, no. I just began. In your darkest of times, when it rain or in sunshine, don't be afraid. I know how it feels to be tossed by the storms. I know how it feels to be battered and worn. But then I know how it feels to be calmed by the strength of the one who is thankful and is faithful and true. Don't be afraid when darkness is closing. The Master is near. His voice calms every storm. So when the world says it's over, the Master says, no, I just begun. In your darkest of times, when in rain or in sunshine, don't be afraid. This man was staring death right in the eyes, and he wrote this song. Sure, I'm sure he was afraid. He had to have been afraid. If somebody told me I had a week to live, I'd be afraid. But yet he didn't let it get him down. He continued to praise and to live for God. And how do we do that? How do we continue to walk for God? You know, I get up every morning. I'm laying in bed last night, and I did something, and I rolled my arm back like this. And I had a pain shoot from my forehead clear down to my toes, because I still have soreness in my shoulder that's been repaired. But yet, I don't get up every morning and think, well, here I go again. I'm going to go in, I'm going to hurt my arm doing something stupid. No, I need to get up every morning and say, thank you, Lord, for letting me wake up this morning. And it's hard to do sometimes, because the older I get, yes, I'm not a young pup anymore, the older I get, the more I feel it in the mornings when I get up. But I need to get out of bed, and first thing I need to say is, thank you, Lord, for letting me get out of bed this morning. Thank you. Because today is the first day of the rest of my life. Today is the day I can make changes. Today is the day I can live what I didn't live yesterday, closer to you and more than I do. You know, I may have messed up 2 days ago. Okay, I messed up 2 days ago. That's in the past. God will help me take care of that mess up from 2 days ago, if I will just ask Him to. Matthew chapter 6, starting in the 19th verse. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt. I'm guilty of that right now. I think most of us are. I have a 401k. Why do I have a 401k? Because I know I'm going to retire someday. Hopefully. Lisa may not want me to, but I'm going to retire someday. Got to have something to live on. Okay. But that doesn't rule my life. You know, I don't sit down every day and think, okay, I've got to put X number of dollars into my 401k. Or in 15 years when I retire, I'm going to have to cut back to one hamburger a day instead of two. You know, so I need to work a little harder today so I can put a little extra money in. Nah, I don't do that. That's what's telling me here. Don't lay up treasures upon earth, okay? Because we have a heavenly home waiting for us. We need to walk away from fleshly desires and become one with God. How do we do that? By realizing that we have a better thing laid up for us in store. Okay. I wake up today, I'm sore. I wake up tomorrow, I'm going to be sore. But someday I'm going to wake up and I'm not going to have those pains anymore. I'm going to truly be able to say like Lazarus and like Daniel and like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, today is the first day of the rest of my life. I'll be in heaven. I'll be enjoying eternity with Christ and with God. Can there be any better first day of the rest of my life than that? But I'm looking forward to that. I need to get to that point. And there will be a lot of stumbling blocks between here and there. How do we know that? Because it tells us that in the Scriptures. You have the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man was all about the rich man. All Lazarus needed was a little bit of food. What happened? The rich man died. And Lazarus died. But who went to heaven? Or who went to eternity? Who was in torment? The rich man. Because he was all about the rich man. The rich young ruler. I've kept everything from my birth, from my youth. I've done everything I should do. What else do I have to do? Well, see that car sitting behind you, and see that house behind you, and see that other stuff that's behind you? Get rid of that and come follow me. Well, yeah, but my feet will hurt if I can't drive there. Yeah, but it's going to be hot, and my air-conditioned house won't keep me cool if I get rid of it. I'm making fun of this, but that's the way it is with us today. We need to be less willing to rely on the things. Now, I can say that today, but talk to me in July when it's 110 degrees and 400% humidity. I'm going to say I'm glad I'm not the cow standing in the field. I'm glad I'm sitting in my house with the air conditioning running. Okay? So I will become guilty of these things eventually. But the nice thing about it is God gives me a way to escape those. Because God knows that I am only human. All I have to do is turn to Him. Song 142 in the Red Book. The world all about me has now no allure. Its pleasures bring pain. Its wisdom is vain. I seek a foundation that's steadfast and sure. I'll put Jesus first in my life. The Lord Jesus died my salvation to win. He went in my stead to Calvary and bled. Redemption impels me to give up all sin. I'll put Jesus first in my life. I know there's a home for the ransomed and blessed. When death is no more, when struggle is o'er. For those who love Jesus and give Him their best, I'll put Jesus first in my life. The earth's tribulations continue each day. Though pleasures may call, though evil enthrall, His grace will protect me forever and day. I'll put Jesus first in my life. In all that I say, in all that I do, throughout the world of toil and strife, by day and by night, through trust in His might, I'll put Jesus first in my life. Dr. Sullivan did all he could for my shoulder. Okay, he told me I've gone as far as I can go. Did he assure me I wouldn't have pain, I wouldn't have discomfort? No. He told me, because you're a young man, you're going to do stupid things. You're going to hurt your shoulder again. I've gone as far as I can go. I can't go back to him and say, hey, you messed up. No, he's going to look at me and say, no, you're not doing what I told you to do, which would be to not wear out my shoulder. But I have to wear out my shoulder. Why do I have to wear out my shoulder? Because that's what I do. But yet, could I throw that all away to make my shoulder feel better? Sure, I probably could. But then I'd have to give up all the nice things I have in this life. So I'm not willing to do that yet. But you know what? We have a Savior. We have a Savior that went to the cross, did something that I would never do. If John Gelati told me to take my drill and stick it in my hand and turn that drill on, oh, it's going to go through my hand eventually, and it's going to hurt like a booger. I think that's what Christ did for us. Christ willingly took that drill or those nails and put them in his hands and his feet for us. So we have a Savior that is steadfast and sure. Okay, I may stumble, I may fall, But he never moves from where he was. He's always there ready for me. And he wants me to remember, yesterday's just a memory. Tomorrow's a dream. Be with me today. Today is today. Today is the day I need to be with Christ. Tomorrow's got all those old pleasures and troubles and hurt worries that are going to come up. The nice thing about it is he'll help me through it. But the nice thing about it is I messed up in the last 37 years. But yet all it took was coming to Christ and God and saying, I messed up. I was one of yours and I fell away. And he brings me back into the fold. If you have not accepted Christ into your life yet at this point in time, then you are not, what do you have to look forward to? You of all men, most hopeless, it says, because you have nothing to look forward to. We need to come. We need to give our lives wholly to Christ and to God. We need to be buried in baptism, have our sins washed away. Then we can truly look back and say, the past is a memory. Tomorrow's a dream. Today, I am with Christ. And if I go to eternity, I will be with Him today. If you have not accepted Christ, have not been baptized into His death, burial, and resurrection, or if you have, for some reason, stumbled and fallen away, you're always given the opportunity to return to Him and to His fold as we stand and sing the closing song.